what to do with our money, what to do with our resources. The third greatest mistake in life is to be busy but not be effective for God. To be busy in this life but not to be effective for God. That's a tragedy. It really is. And we can be so busy about things and so busy about the season and so busy about so many things all throughout and not really be busy about the things that are important. And then the greatest failure in life is to be successful in the wrong assignment. To be successful in a wrong assignment. To stand before Jesus at the end of your life and he lays out the plan that he had for you and to not accomplish that plan. That's going to be the worst possible thing that anybody could imagine when they face Jesus Christ. And so we don't want that to happen. We don't want any of that to happen to you. So I'm going to explain what Jesus began to teach and what he was going to do. Let's go to Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Now, Jesus taught a lot of things when he was on this earth, but some of them were extremely important, and this one, of course. But I want you, we might even look before Matthew 6:33 and look at about 6:25, and he says, "Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or about your body and what you put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Now, the most of the things that we spend time with and our focus is on is eating, drinking, and clothes and things. But Jesus said, don't be anxious about those things because those things are no problem for God to give us. Adam and Eve had them all. They didn't have to work for them. God just gave them. But he said, I have a purpose, and that purpose is to rule and reign on the earth. So what we have to do is find the priority in our life, and then God said he'll work out the rest of it. But what Satan says, God doesn't really have your best interest in mind, and God really doesn't want to take care of you. So you better take care of yourself and take care of your things. And then if you have a little bit of time for God, then that's okay. But he said, what Satan says, just the opposite. Be concerned about food, drink, and clothes. Interesting. So Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the food, drink, and clothing, will be added unto you. They won't be a problem. They will be easy if you seek first the major thing. Now, that's the message that Jesus Christ preached primarily when he was on the earth. If you look at what he taught and what he taught, he was constantly talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And basically what he's saying is don't miss out on that part in this life. So there's a whole lot of things about this kingdom of God. If you went to live in a foreign country, you'd have to learn the ways of that country. If you went to England, you'd have to learn how to drive on the opposite side of the road. You'd have to learn the rules of England. You would have to submit to the queen or the king or whoever's in charge at the time because you're in that kingdom. And Jesus said that we are to seek his kingdom. We're to seek him, of course, but we're to seek his kingdom. Now, a lot of people are seeking Jesus, but they're not seeking his kingdom and they're going to miss out on their purpose in life. That's the point I'm making. And I think it's a good one because Jesus made it. He said, seek you first the kingdom of God. Seek you first, underline that, first the kingdom of God. Secondly, his righteousness. And then all the stuff that you're driving yourself crazy to get will be added unto you. That's exactly what that says. And most of us do just the opposite. We try to get all the stuff, and then we come to God seeking him. We do it backwards because that's the way of the enemy. That's the way we're taught. On TV, we're taught that way in schools. We're taught that way in every way you can be taught. We're taught, seek the things first and then the kingdom. Jesus said just the opposite. Now, on this earth, we have two kingdoms. We have the spiritual kingdom of God, and we have the natural kingdom of the enemy. That's basically what we have. And so we have to decide which kingdom we're going to honor, which kingdom we're going to give ourselves to, which kingdom we're going to try to find our purpose in. So, Jesus requires exclusive your allegiance to him. He requires all, everything. He kept saying, you know, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. I think the cross is the purpose in our life. And then follow Jesus in that purpose. So he demands our heart. He demands our undivided loyalty. The gospel of the kingdom was the only message he preached, really. If you look at it, well, you know, he taught people to pray. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Isn't that interesting? Right after God was the kingdom. Pray the kingdom of God come. Pray it comes in your heart. Pray it comes in life. Pray it comes our nation. Pray these things. And basically, he said it costs everything, and to show that it cost everything, he gave everything. He said, this is the cost of it. God had a purpose in his life. He said, my purpose, very simply, I've come to die. That was his purpose. He came to shed his blood so that we would have a purpose in life, so that we would have the kingdom of God along with him. Because man lost the kingdom with Adam and Eve and also our own sin. But primarily with Adam and Eve, we're not born into the kingdom of God. And I got another word for you. We're not baptized into the kingdom of God. Interesting enough. So, it begins to get interesting as you find out what Jesus was talking about. Look in Luke 9 and verse 57. Give you several scriptures. Look these up yourself. My goodness, don't take my word for it. Look it up on your own. Luke 9 and verse 57. And this says, and it came to pass that as they went on the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds have the air. Birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, he said, I have given myself totally to the kingdom of God, and I don't really own anything. I said, I don't really own anything. That's what he said. I don't even own a house. I don't own a bed. He's talking about here on this earth. He said, I don't own anything. But he really says the rewards are worth the cost. Now the kingdom of God, now here's another thing he said, and this may, some people left him when he said this. He said, the kingdom of God is more important than family, more important than friends, more important than career, more important than personal ambitions. I want to say it again. The kingdom of God is more important than family, more important than friends, more important than career, more important than personal ambitions. In other words, nothing is more important than the kingdom of God. Now, we know upon this earth we have families and we have all this, and we're to love them and take care of them and appreciate them and all this kind of thing. But the issue was that the kingdom of God is more important. You will not have, when we're in the kingdom of heaven, when we're with the Lord, all the family and the marriages and the children and the friends and all this stuff will not have the same, I can't say value, but not have the same relationship that we have here. So he said, seek the kingdom of God first. It's more important than anything else in your entire life. And some people left. Look in Luke 18, verse 18. I'm just going to give you some basic things today to think about for this coming year. Luke 18 and verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why are you calling me good? None good except God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. In other words, these are laws in the kingdom of God. But these are laws that to help you, not to hurt you. In other words, you're going to be successful in the kingdom, you can't do these sins. And he said, all I have, I've kept all these from my youth up, he told Jesus. And when Jesus heard these things, well, you lack one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Now, in this case, in this guy's life, he said, in your case, if you want to inherit the kingdom of heaven, sell everything you have, give it away, and then you're going to inherit the kingdom. Now, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me, because the kingdom is going to last a whole lot longer than the things on the earth. You understand what I'm saying? And so he said, if you'll give up these things now, I'll give you the kingdom of God forever. And you know that man turned the deal down. He said, these things are more important to me than the kingdom. I'm going to keep the things, and I'm going to give up the kingdom. Look in verse 28 here in Luke 18, verse 28. And Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed you. Peter said, we left everything, and we have followed you. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no one that's left house or parents or brother or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manyfold more in this present time and in the age to come, life everlasting. So Jesus said to Peter, he said, yes, you've given up these things, but I'm going to give you a whole lot more, and they're going to be yours. And so The basic issue, really what you have to come to, is I don't own anything. It all belongs to God. Lock the doors. Don't let anybody out. The best thing you can possibly do to inherit the kingdom of God is to own nothing. Now, I don't mean you don't own it in this life. What I'm talking about is, it's you realize that everything belongs to God. It all came from Him. I'm talking about the kingdom of God here. And so that I'm just telling you what Jesus taught. Now, I think that's important. Now, the next thing I wanted to mention is, and this will be rather strange to you possibly, religion prevents life in the kingdom of God. Religion prevents life in the kingdom of God. It's very interesting. Actually, what religion is, it's a substitute for the kingdom of God. All religion, all of these man-made religions are a kingdom within themselves. And they're basically designed to control a group of people so that they will not leave that their little kingdom and they'll preserve their kingdom. Religion's really designed to preserve religion. And it captures people and keeps them out of the kingdom of God. So, what religion does, it gets them to the point where they believe their religion is the kingdom. And many times they tell people, now don't you, if you leave us, you're lost. You're lost. And I tell you, you're in anything like that, you're in a controlled situation which is not controlled by God, it's controlled by man. And so religion is not a good thing. Even Christianity is a problem if you don't teach about the kingdom of God. Some churches teach, all they teach about is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, glory to God. I'm glad they do. But teaching about Jesus Christ is teaching about everything he does. But when you teach about the kingdom of God, you're teaching about what you do with Jesus. It tells you your responsibility. It tells you your purpose in life. And so what some churches do that, and I'm not pleased criticizing in particular church, we're not any better, but I'm just telling you what happens. When all you learn about is what Jesus did, then you'll do nothing. And so what that does is you come on Sunday, you learn about Jesus, hallelujah, it's glorious, it's wonderful. But that during the week, you just do what you want to do because you don't have any responsibility and you just live your life out like you want to live it and you can go on. But if a church teaches about Jesus and his kingdom, then that gives you a purpose with Jesus Christ on this earth to bring the invisible kingdom of God into the natural, to with Jesus bring the supernatural into the natural that we live. And how well you do that according to the purpose of God for you will determine your position, your rewards, and your crowns when you stand before Jesus Christ. Do I hear an amen? So you understand that just learning about Jesus is part of it. And you understand why Jesus came and he taught the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, you don't worry about the rest of the stuff. Adam and Eve did not have to worry about food. They didn't have to worry about drink. They didn't have to worry about clothes. They didn't have to worry about a place to live. They didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. They had the Garden of Eden. God gave them everything. He just said, rule and reign on this earth under me. In other words, rule and reign in the kingdom of God under me. I'll take care of the necessities of life. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have a job, and it doesn't mean you have to buy clothes and that kind of stuff, but it won't be a big deal. It won't be a problem. You won't have to worry about your bills if you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all this other stuff will be easy and not so important in life. Can't you imagine that kind of shook up the folks a little bit? Because it's just the opposite of the way we've been taught. Now you go to school and you learn a trade and you do this because now you're going to have a career and then you're going to get this degree and you're just going to be wonderful in the world and you'll be successful in the world. Big deal. Jesus said, be successful in the kingdom of God. Be successful in my kingdom, you see. And the worst thing possibly in this world is to be successful in this life and miss the kingdom of God. Even if you're a Christian. Now, it's interesting. You won't get thousands of folks to listen to this message. I'll guarantee you. Because most people are so taught to do their own thing in this life and be successful in life in their own, lift yourself up on your own bootstraps. It's really bad in this country because we have the freedoms we have for a while anyway. And the point is that sometimes having too much freedom can be dangerous. Because people that were in countries where they're being persecuted are more serious about the things of God than we are in this country. Because they're willing to give their life for Jesus Christ. You see. They're willing to give up for the in the natural for the supernatural. They're willing to give up their life here so they're going to have life for eternity there. You see. And folks, what I'm telling you, I'm not here to discourage anybody or make anybody feel guilty. What I'm here for is to tell you there's still time if you're here today and breathing to get it right. It's a new year. We always talk about New Year's resolutions and all that stuff. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. And then you'll have the stuff. You see. We got it backwards. So we need to start praying that we're going to understand the kingdom of God, His purpose for us at this time in our life. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. This is what you need to be learning because this is success. It's the only success according to Jesus. Look in Matthew 23 and verse 13. Matthew 23 and verse 13. And Jesus did not hesitate to tell people when they were on the wrong track, you see. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, religious folks, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you permit them that you're teaching, basically, to enter in either. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses for a pretense of making long prayers and so on and so forth. Therefore, you're going to receive their greater damnation. What he said was, he said, they were religious, they were lost, and they were keeping other people out of the kingdom of God. Now, I tell you, bet you'd be better off dying young than keeping people out of the kingdom of God. I'll tell you that right now. Are you listening to me? You really would. Because that doesn't go over real well when you stand before Jesus. If you're keeping other people out by your lifestyle, by what you say, or by what you do. You see. Religion is the worst thing that ever came on this world. Now, he said, not only seek the kingdom of God, but he said also seek the righteousness of God, and the righteousness of God is the rules of God. When we're saved, we receive God's righteousness, but we have to have our own righteousness that we work out in this life. You see, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We should seek right living before God. Look in Job chapter 36 and verse 7. Just before Psalms, Job 36. We're going to look at several scriptures as quick as I can do it. 36 and verse 7. I want you to see these things. Mark them in your Bible. This says, 36 verse 7 of Job, he withdraws not his eyes, talking about God. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous. But with kings are they on the throne. He does establish them forever, and they are exalted. He's talking about living righteously. You're going to be exalted forever. You're going to live with kings and those that reign forever. He said, if you live in righteousness here, you're going to be blessed there. What Satan wants you to do is live as bad as you can, to mess up as many people as you can, and keep out of the kingdom of God as many as you can. You see. Look in Psalm 5 and verse 11. It says, but let all of those who put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who love your name be joyful in you. It says several things. It says that you're going to rejoice in joy. God's going to defend you if you love him. And I could say follow him in righteousness. Look up. So what we're to do is get in the kingdom of God, learn the laws and rules of that kingdom, and live in it. I live in the United States in Winnebago County, and it says there's a certain speed limit out there on that highway. Now, whether I like it or not, if I'm going to honor this kingdom, I'm going to drive the speed limit or less. Whether I like it or not. And no, interesting enough, the way you practice living righteousness in the kingdom is at least following the laws in the natural. And I'll tell you that we have to practice it because most people think, well, they won't get me if I go five over. But you're learning to be rebellious in the natural kingdom. And it sometimes flows over into the spiritual kingdom. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Why not get a little practical? I'm still learning that one, incidentally. I'm working on it. I'm practicing it. Look at Psalm 34 and verse 17. Now look at this. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Jesus didn't give you a bunch of rules just to give you something you do you couldn't do. What he did was he said, it's going to bring a blessing to your life to live righteously. The Lord hears, he delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near unto those of a broken heart, and he saves such as be of a contrite heart. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. He keeps all of his bones, not one is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they unrighteousness will kill you, is what that says. Evil will slay the wicked, and they that hate righteousness shall be desolate. Now, I'm not running around judging everybody. It's not even my business. But I'm just telling you, a lot of people are desolate because they're not righteous. The Lord redeems the soul. I'm not saying I'm holier than anybody. Don't get me wrong there. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them who trust in him shall be desolate. I say none of them who trust in him shall be desolate. That's a promise of God. That ought to be on the refrigerator. You see, we have to start learning to trust God. We just read that stuff, go over it, and go on. What God's trying to tell us something. Now, one more. Proverbs 13 and verse 21. These are all over the Bible. The Old Testament is just as relevant as the New. Proverbs 13, 21. You know, God just keeps repeating this and repeating this and repeating this, and he hopes we'll get it. I remember one time I was in a class in middle school, and if you said something when you weren't supposed to, you had to write 100 times, "I will not talk." And if you did it again, you had to write it 1,000 times. Don't you believe you got writer's cramp? Or maybe I should have said, I got writer's cramp. Maybe that's what it was. But anyway, the issue was, she figured if you did it 1,000 times, maybe you'll get it. And that's why God keeps putting it in here, you know, time after time after time. Maybe we'll get it. Proverbs 13, 21, evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. There it is, just time after time after time. God, make me righteous this year. Show me how to be righteous. Teach me the righteousness of God. That's what we should be praying this new year. Teach me the righteousness of God. He said you'd be blessed. He didn't say you wouldn't go through problems. He said he'll take you out of them. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now I want to talk just a few minutes how you get in the kingdom. I said this before, but the other day a young girl knocked on my door and she said, I want to talk. She said, I have some books on the kingdom. I said, hallelujah. Man, I want to hear about the kingdom. That is wonderful. Because she was Jehovah's Witness, and I knew that. But I'll listen to anybody who wants to talk about the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. I said, good, I want to hear about it. And she told me a couple things, and I told her a whole bunch of stuff. She came back a week later and brought an elder with her. I said, this is working pretty good. I'm going to have a crowd pretty soon. But I don't know how big the crowd's going to get, because next time they come, I'm going to say, you know a lot about the kingdom. You just don't know how to enter into it. Are you listening to me? We got it the other way around. I say we got it the other way around. We know how to get in, but we don't know what we're doing when we get there. I'm going to talk about how you enter the kingdom. You know, I became a citizen of the United States. I'm not going to tell you the year, but when I was born into the kingdom. If I'd have been born in Haiti, I'd been a citizen of Haiti. If I was born in England, I'd be a citizen of England. It's not complicated. It's pretty simple. Go to John 3:1. Real quick, and I'm going to run through this because I don't want anybody here not to be in the kingdom, because you're going to hear about the kingdom from all the time here, but the issue is John 3, verse 1. There was a religious guy showed up. I mean, this guy knew the Bible better than all of us put together. His name was Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. I mean, this guy was big time in the Jews. He was number one religious. The same came to Jesus by night, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know you're a good teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you do, except God be with him. Jesus answered to him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I say he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How's that possible? I'm telling you, he knew the Bible better than us. How's that possible, he said. I can't understand this. Because it's not a natural kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom. He said, in order to be in the natural, you have to be born into the natural. You have to be born. He said, it's the same process. You have to be born into the spiritual. And he goes on in verse 5, and Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's why I say you can't join the church, be baptized, say all the right stuff, sign in the right dotted line, show up every time the door opens. That doesn't get you in the kingdom. Are you listening to me? You can do a whole lot of stuff. Nicodemus knew how to do the stuff. He was an expert at it. They looked up to him to teach how to do the stuff. And Jesus come and tell him how to get into the kingdom of God. He didn't know how to get in. How in the world is he going to teach somebody else who doesn't know how to get in himself? Impossible. And so it goes on. That which is born of flesh is flesh. You're born into the natural, you're born in the natural. That's which is born in the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said unto you, except you be born again. You must be born again. The wind blows like the wind. That tells me the wind doesn't blow all the time. I don't think you can be saved anytime you want to. That ought to scare some folks. It's when the Spirit of God is moving. It's when the Spirit of God is moving. It's like the wind. It's blowing over there, and then it's blowing over here, and then it's blowing over there. And you can't just announce to God, okay, God, I'm coming here. I'm coming now. So, and Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Jesus said something pretty interesting. He said, you're a teacher of the Jews and you don't know this? We could say the same thing. You've been in church how many times and you don't know this? You've been in church how many times and you're not experiencing the kingdom of God? A lot of people are like me. I told you this before, but I went into this church and decided I was really going to do God a favor. I was going to church. And I went into the church and with my wife, and we sat down, and all of a sudden I noticed people had Bibles. And I said, we're not coming back here again. These people are fanatics. I really did that, and I didn't go back. Scared me to death. They were carrying their Bibles. You know why? I wasn't in the kingdom of God. I was. I don't think I was even religious. I was worse than that. You see. And he said, I've told you earthly things, and yet you don't believe me. How in the world are you going to believe if I tell you heavenly things? And that's the issue. You gain entrance by receiving the King. By receiving the King of the kingdom. And once you receive the King, then you learn about the kingdom. You see. And you learn the rules, and you learn how to be successful in the kingdom. And you know that you learn what God's plan is for you, and you quit wasting your life. My life didn't start till I got saved. Everything I did before that is nothing. Will mean nothing. It amounts to nothing. Will not even be mentioned in heaven. But just like a baby is born at 2:35 plus 20 seconds in the morning, there's a time that you receive the King. And if I talk to somebody and I say, you know, when you get saved, well, I've always been a Christian. I say, really? That's interesting. I say, well, can you tell me? They don't have to know the day or the hour. I can't remember. I don't know what the date of my salvation was, but I know it was in February 1970. I know where it was. It was in a Sunday night service. The only one who came forward in that church was me. And I'll tell you, when I woke up the next morning, I said, something's happened to me. And I called up the preacher and I said, what in the world has happened to me? Followed him around for 3 days. I was amazed. Grew up in church. And I didn't know what had happened to me. That would scare some folks. John 3:16 makes it very simple. If you don't know where it is, look it up, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody, whoever, religious, in church, whatever, whosoever believes in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that believing is more than saying some words. That believing is believing in your heart and grabbing hold of God and never letting go for eternity. I say it's grabbing a hold of God and never letting go for eternity. That's what it is. Be like, old Jacob back there. I'm not going to let you go, God, until you bless me. Hallelujah. That's the kind of people that God's looking for. How do you get in? There, you have to go through the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. How do you enter a room? How do you enter a kingdom? You go through the door. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody. That's me. That's you. That's everybody. That's Nicodemus. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, I love it. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we're going in the natural world and ignoring the kingdom of God, ignoring the King and staying away from the King, he died for us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then Romans 10:9, I love it. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's no silent believers in this world. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Somebody told me one time, I'm saved, but I don't like to talk about it. Whoa. My goodness. You see. Your name will be recorded as a citizen of God in the book of life. Forever. Just like your name's recorded as a citizen of the United States someplace. It's recorded in the Lamb's book of life. And now it's a matter of once you come to Christ, surrendering to his kingdom. Surrender to the King. Surrender your life to him. Surrender to righteousness. You got a new life, a new king, a new kingdom. And we learn about it every day. It's not one day a week, it's every day. The kingdom of God goes 24/7. The kingdom of God's going constantly. We're in the kingdom of God every minute of every day if you know Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to be living it out because God delivers those who are righteous before him. And so if you got something that you're doing, you know, that God didn't want you to do, stop doing it. Ask God to help you. Confess it to Jesus Christ and say, I want that place in my life filled with righteousness. Jam full and pressed down. Full of the righteousness of God. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Let's stand before the Lord.